Well, this morning we're going to talk about widening the circle. Widening the circle of our influence, both as families and as a church family. Because that's one of the things that we want to do. How many people know what this is? What is that? A lever. And what does a lever do? A what? It levers things. Thank you. Yeah. Oops. Moves things. Thank you. We have an engineer here. Large obstacles moved with minimal force. All right. Well, and so that's what it's good for. It can move that big thing, and that guy, he moves his little pole. As he moves his pole up and down the fulcrum, or the place where it goes, it changes the amount of torque, or the bigger the object that can be moved, right? Okay? So that's what he does. So, the thing is, though, he still has to do his part, right? I mean, if he just put the lever in there and left it, it wouldn't do anything. Not on its, with its own weight. I mean, it won't move it. He has to apply a little force. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the force that we have to apply in the midst of our life, in the midst of our families, in the midst of our church families. And the force that we apply. But we're going to talk about how important it is that there are other forces that come to play, in our families' lives. We all have places where we use our leverage to enhance or elevate something that we're interested in or passionate about, don't we? I mean, I know lots of families who are really interested in sports for their kids, dancing for their kids, all of these things for their kids. And so what do? They leverage their influence by getting them involved in a team or something like that. And all of a sudden, they're doing something more than they could do themselves because they've been able to leverage the skill of somebody else to do a job. These levers are all in our lives, and they represent all sorts of different influences and opportunities that are before us. Imagine that there are three levers that you can use to elevate influence in your lives. And I want to talk about these three levers today. And I believe they're the kind of levers that we're challenged to follow that the Bible talks about. And the first one we're going to talk about is, maybe, the lever of relationships, and the lever of relationships. Now, what do you think is the important lever that we need to work on? Relationships. It's powerful. It's really powerful. It's something that we need to do. And I want you to go away today, and I want you to think about, okay, what is the lever that I need to use in my life and to influence my family and my church family? What is the lever that is the most important one that I can use? Relationships. Did I mention that relationships are important? They're profound. Let's take a look at this passage in Deuteronomy, and I hope that's... Yeah, oh, you can see that. That's good. In the Hebrew families, you remember Paul... Or not Paul wasn't there, but Moses was there, and this was... Deuteronomy is his last message to the Hebrew people before they were going to head off into the promised land, and Moses was going to be buried on Mount Pisgah and in Jordan, and that's what he was going to do. And so he left this message for the people. This is sort of the summation of all the good things. If you look in Deuteronomy 5, you'll find that Moses spells out the Ten Commandments that they ought to follow. And now he gets into the statement that draws it all together. And so when he's telling these people... And he's telling them as a group of people, it's like the family that he's telling. Now, they really didn't have a keen concept of the nuclear family like we have today. You know, either one or two parents and kids living in one place. They had more the extended family. So when they would talk about a family and a grouping, they would have a whole lot of people. And it could be up to 80 people or more that were part of this grouping. So when he was telling people that they ought to do these things together, he wasn't just saying, well, you go home, close your doors, and the two of you with your kids, or how many parents are there with your kids, you do these things, and this is it. No, he was saying the whole gang of you get together, because that's who was responsible. That's who had made commitments to one another. They were part of the family. And so when he wrote this, when he wrote in Deuteronomy 6, did I just lose? No. When he wrote in Deuteronomy 6, and you read those words, that it says, these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Really what he meant, it wasn't just you, but it was all of you. So everywhere you see you, you can include all of you. So he was talking to the group. This was not a personal directive. This was a group directive to the whole Hebrew people, to the whole family of folks that were there. So let's read it, and we're going to change. You see every place where you get a blue olive you, that used to be a you, and we've just expanded it to include what it means, all of you. So these are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach all of you. All of you, all of you must obey them in the land. All of you are about to enter and occupy. And all of you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as all of you live. If all of you obey all these decrees and commands, all of you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with all of you, and all of you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised all of you. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And all of you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, or all your soul and all your strength. And all of you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving all of you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when all of you are at home, and when all of you are on the road, and when all of you are going to bed, and when all of you are getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Remember them or write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. You know, when you do something like that and you include that into the passage, it sort of adds a different emphasis. And you start to recognize that Moses isn't just, this is just not a personal, private direction that he's giving to a few individuals. But he's giving this to a group of people that they ought to work together, that they ought to be together, that what's responsible for one is that responsibility is carried by other people as well. And other people carry responsibility for you. And so all of you, all of us need to hear these things and understand and obey these things. Well, the first leverage that I just want to mention is the relationships that you have with your spouse, your children, and wider family. Well, you know, in so many books that you read today about influence on your children or influence on other people, you always hear this thing, teachable moments. And so sometimes people think that, well, what we need to do is not be involved with our kids a lot or not be involved with those people that we want to influence a lot, but we just need, when we're with them, we need to make sure that we create teachable moments. And so it sort of becomes like an agenda that a gunslinger has, you know, to shoot people, and then he can put another notch on his belt. So sometimes people are like that, and they want to create these teachable moments and have another teachable moment and mark it on their little, you know, teachable moment gun, and it looks good. But teachable moments don't just happen, do they? The fact is that if you step into a situation and you say, I want to make this a teachable moment, chances are it being a teachable moment are probably fairly slim. However, if you spend time and you spend time and you maximize your time with them and with other individuals, then in fact you may indeed have a teachable moment. And even if you don't have a great instructional moment when you're going to pass the profound truth on, the fact of the matter is that you're developing your relationship. Did I say relationships were important? Because you're the only person probably, if you're probably the only person that other person is going to see God in. You have the greatest opportunity to show them the unconditional love that God has for them. It's so important. It's so critical. And so we want to maximize the effect. Moses had called all the people together, and he said, "Listen carefully, Israel. Hear the decrees and regulations I'm giving all of you today, so all of you may learn them and obey them." We read over in Proverbs 5, "Either you will surrender your reputation to others and your years to some cruel person, or strangers will benefit from your strength and you will have to work in a pagan's house. Then you will groan when your end comes and your body and flesh are consumed, and you will say, 'Oh, how I hated discipline. How my heart despised correction. I didn't listen to what my teachers said to me, nor did I keep my ear open to my instructors. I almost reached total ruin in the assembly and in the congregation.'" One of the things that we need to do is we need to help people move past the place where they're just keeping rules, but they're doing something in a relationship in which they are able to have self-discipline and self-care. The Bible is full of this, where it keeps telling us over and over again that we need to help other people be disciplined in their life. So we need to leverage our relationships as much as we can. How do you do that in your family? How do you do that with your children? Well, the key thing is that you need to be committed to the time. And time is the greatest leverage that we can use. Spending time with people. I mean, when you hear people say, "Well, I just don't have time for my kids. I just don't have time for my spouse. I just don't have time for my family." What are they telling you? They're simply telling you that they have other priorities. That their children, their family, that their spouse is not the priority. That's the way it is. And so that's what they're telling you. And I'm saying, and I believe the Bible is saying, that we need to leverage our time with those people in our relationships. And the reason for that is we come to the second lever, is because if we do that, we are able to be and to lever the relationship that they will have with God. And that is probably the most important relationship that they will ever have, the one with God. Even though we think that they ought to have that super relationship with us, as important and as wonderful as that may be, the most important relationship that anybody ever has is with God over a period of time. The relationships that you have with God and your influence on others is the most important lever that you can work on. No one has the leverage to move this lever in those who are near you. No one has it more than you do. Sometimes we think as parents, as parents first off, that, "Oh, how can I influence my kids for Christ?" Well, the fact is that they'll see how you live. They see how you live. They see if you want to spend time with them, if you care about their life, whether you love them unconditionally. Well, how do we do that in the church? Well, we care about people. You know, last night it was really cool because, you know, a young dad came up to me and said, "You know, this is so cool. Here we're sitting with another young family of people, and our kids are together, and they're loving each other, and they're caring for each other. And you know what? In so doing, you know, one of the things that they do is they provide the opportunity to be examples for each other." And he made the comment that they had been out previously, and the kids were together, and they were in a restaurant, and because the kids were with each other and they cared for each other, there was no issue of discipline. The kids were caring for each other. They were involved with each other. And that wouldn't happen, because you know what happens when you go as mom and dad and you go to the restaurant by yourself? The kids want your attention. So what do? Well, they'll do anything to get your attention. And that's where the trouble starts. So see how important it is and how profound it is. You're involved with others, and then they have the opportunity to influence others for God because God is in their life as well. And that's an important element. I believe we begin to understand that their relationship is so important with God. And so you would do anything to move that along. And if you can do that by leveraging that relationship with God. And we do that, most importantly, through the third lever, we connect relationships with those who speak the same language. Well, one of the important elements is that we have people that speak the same language as we do. You know, it's so wonderful to be in the midst of a church family. As a pastor, you get the great privilege of having, you know, people get to know who you are. I mean, that can be a dangerous thing too, I guess. But it's a wonderful thing because then you can share who you are. And when our kids were growing up, we had the privilege of having our kids amongst a group of people who spoke the same language about God's love that we did. That's what those two families enjoyed last night as they met together. They had other people who were speaking into their children's lives. That's what we did last night as a church family. We had the opportunity to be together, to speak the language of God's love, not only for us, but for people around the world. And we confirm that with one another as we share with each other. And so, is Christianity and is our Christian life something that we live behind closed doors with our nuclear family or without any family at all? No. It's our Christianity is a relationship we live with God and we share with other people. And other people speak into our lives. One of the things that sometimes we don't want to do is we don't want to admit that we don't know everything about everything. You know, I've been heard, and it's been said, that dads are often like that they sort of think they know it all. And my kids, for my 50th birthday a number of years ago, gave me a t-shirt that said something like, how does it go? I think I may be wrong, but I may be mistaken, or I'm sure I'm mistaken, something like that. That, you know, sort of dad knows it all, right? Well, we all know that that's not true. If you've known me for a little while, you know that that's certainly not true. But sometimes we don't want to admit that. And so one of the things that we don't do is that we don't want other people, we don't want to get too close to other people because they may say something that something that challenges our way of thinking. And we think that we're the ones that can teach our children everything they need to know. But the fact is, we can't. And so we have to come to the point where we recognize that a time will come when we know that our kids are going to need other adults and other people in their lives to speak the voice of God into their life. We have to have that. Because if we don't, they're going to get a closed and narrow view. A time will come in your life, if it hasn't come already, when you need other adults to speak into your life about faith and about life. And you can't do it if you hide. You can't do it if you stay away. You can't do it if you're behind closed doors. You got to be involved with people. You got to hear what God is saying to them, and God wants to speak into your life. That's so important. I can't emphasize it enough. The trouble is, we take it so personally. We think, oh, well, why would God tell them to tell me? Or why wouldn't I understand that? Why do I need someone else to share with me? Well, that's the way it is in a family, folks. That's the way it is. That's what happens. And that's why God calls us together. Sometimes we take it too personally. Sometimes we think we're too proud. Why would I? How in the world can someone else speak into our family's life? You know, that just doesn't work. Well, the Hebrew family wasn't a nuclear family. It was a bigger family, and people spoke into each other's lives. One of the things that happens, research tells us that teens who have had at least one adult, and you got to hear this, teens who have had at least one adult make a significant investment in their lives are more likely to stay in church at a rate of 46% to 28%. So children who have at least had one adult in the church setting invest in their lives and speak into their lives, the chances of them staying in a church setting is still below 50%, But it's at 46%. And people who don't, it's only at 28%. Now, you can do with what you want with those numbers, but the fact is that more adults that speak into your kids' lives and your family's life, more adults that speak into your spouse's life from the church family and in the church family, the greater the chance is that they're going to continue on in their life. There's some couple interesting passages that we find in Paul. Paul was a mentor, right? Paul mentored people. Paul mentored Timothy of all people. And in 1 Timothy 1:18, we read, and you'll know these words probably, "Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and good conscience." So there he is. Paul is saying and speaking into Timothy's life. Timothy, these are the things that God has said. It wasn't Timothy's mother and father that were talking to him, but it was Paul, somebody else. And because somebody like Paul spoke into his life, Timothy hung on in the faith and stayed at it. In 2 Timothy, and if I can just put my eyes on where it is, 2 Timothy 4:9, there's a sad account there. Because Paul's writing Timothy and he says, "Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." I want to remind you that Demas, if you read the story of Demas through the New Testament, first of all, his name, they started when he was referenced, his name was the first name that came up in a group of people who were following Paul. You know, it was Demas, Timothy, da-da-da-da, and a group of other people. And then it became Timothy, Cyrus, and then Demas. He started moving further from the inner circle. And then finally, in this passage, we find that Demas is gone. Demas no longer wanted to listen to other voices from the church setting and from the Christian setting so that he could be incorporated and continually tied into the faith and tied into life. So, are you willing to hear other voices speak to you? Voices from other families that are part of our church family? People that can encourage you and encourage your children and your family? It's critical. I don't believe it's an option. I don't think living at home behind your closed door is an option. It's a matter of being here, a matter of being involved. The right opportunity is not only important because of what it gives to your children, or the right community is not important only because of what it gives to your children, but also what it requires of your children. Do you realize, too, studies have been done showing that people who studied or talked to grade 9 students, thousands of grade 9 students across the country, and they found that the most important thing for those young people to do and to be involved with was to be in, not to sit in rows in classes and to hear another story taught to them, but what was most important was that with someone who was important to them, they were involved and engaged in some kind of ministry or mission that was significant, not only for their life, but for others' lives. So those kids were involved in opportunities to serve. It's the bottom line. That's what it's all about, being involved in those opportunities. Today, I want to challenge all of us on this whole area. We have hearts out there, and I hope at the end of the day all of them are gone because people have committed to pray for them. And not them, those are people whose lives are represented there. And hopefully people will take that. But also I want to step it up one notch from there. What it would be great if we could do, and maybe somebody it's on your heart and you want to be engaged with this, and that is to establish some kind of mentoring situation whereby we will be involved with other people. And it can be older guys like me involved with young people, kids. And maybe just once a month commit to, say, going out and playing some pool or bowling or go for a ride on a motorcycle. Now, that'd be sweet. And you said you're thankful for spring. Man, I'm chomping at the bit. And But to do stuff like that, just to, it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to go hang gliding or something, but just to be involved with somebody's life, just to spend some time, to pour your life, invest your life in a young person. Maybe it might not be a young person. Maybe you'd feel more comfortable just one-on-one with somebody who is a little bit older. And, I mean, it's important that we have other people speaking into our lives and to do that kind of thing. And so we're going to look for somebody. We're going to look for some people who want to be champions of setting up maybe some men-to-men situations, some women-to-women. And you don't have to be young and you don't have to be able to run the quarter mile kind of thing, but you just have to be able to be available. Maybe there are some couples who have spent a life successfully sharing their life with someone else, and they're willing to sit down with people, not with another couple. Maybe not couple, not just because somebody's having troubles, but just because people want to share life together and talk together. And it's not a case that you have to spend every waking moment with these people. But what you're going to do is maybe once a month or every once in a while get together and just spend some time, maybe over dinner, and just say, okay, so how are things going? What's happening in your life? I honestly believe we need to have people that are committed to one another, to strengthen one another, and to encourage one another in their relationship with God. That's what we need to do. I believe it's so profound, and I believe that that's what Moses was getting at when he was said in the scriptures, all of you, all of you, all of you, because all of us need to be involved, and all of us need to care for one another. Because if we're not, there's something missing in the midst of our church family. So as our worship team comes, let's just pray. Father, thank you that you gave Moses such profound words to remind us of and to challenge us. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be engaged with other people's lives. Thank you for the difference that makes. Father, thank you that people are willing to speak into our lives. And so I just pray that you would lay on each of our hearts what our role could be in being a mentor for someone else, or just sitting down and listening. Father, use us, we pray. Just ask that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.